Brother Mark shared about these trials in life that come and how that we need to keep our focus right. And also, Mark Schwartz exhorting us and adding to our faith. Adding to our faith. And he starts out there, the second epistle of Peter, he's telling us to add to our faith, and then he ends it by telling us to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A wonderful exhortation for us. And I was just pondering, pondering why at times we don't add to our faith. I guess maybe we'll start with a word of prayer, and then I'll just share with you what the Lord gave me this morning. So let's pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we come again to you in Jesus' name here. Father, I do thank you for this privilege, Father, to gather here with your children. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather here to worship you, Lord. Father, you truly deserve to be worshiped. I pray today, Father, that we could be inspired to stand in awe and reverence you. Father, I think, Lord, of the time where I surrendered my life to you. We can all think back to that time, Lord, and how we stood in awe and reverence. We stood in fear before a holy God. Father, today, Lord, I pray that you would inspire us again. You would inspire us again, Lord, to come back to that place of a proper perspective of the fear of God. And Lord, what you can do with hearts that are there. We thank you, Father. We pray, God, that you continue to do that to us, Lord. Help us to be there at a place with a proper fear of you, Father. Lord, there's so many blessings for us when we stay there. So, Father, would you today, Lord, speak through me here, Lord. Father, give me inspiration afresh from you, Lord, that you would be glorified and that your people here be edified, Lord, that we together could grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We thank you and invite you here again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I was thinking of the fear of God. And how that the lack of the fear of God, what that does to our hearts and lives. I was thinking of Mark sharing with us this morning about the aspect of adding to our faith. And when we have the lack of the fear of God in our lives, we don't add to our faith. That's something that we don't do. It brings a complacency about us. We end up with wrong views, wrong doctrinal views, and we don't go forward in life. Mark said we either are moving forward or we go backwards. And so, with that in mind, I guess I'll just give us the definition of fear. This is from the Webster. I'll just read them all to you here. An unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. An instance of this emotion. A state marked by this emotion. Anxious concern. Solicitude. And this is the definition I want us to get a hold of, is profound reverence and awe, especially toward God. A reason for alarm and danger is another definition. In the verb form, it gives us to have a reverential awe of fear God. So that's the aspect that I want us to look at, the fear of God this morning. I've been pondering. Mark was sharing this morning with us about those trials and challenges that come in life, and how sometimes they can get us down. Sometimes we get discouraged about them. But he was encouraging us to continue to look up even through those times. And I was thinking the proper fear of God, this came to me this morning, the proper fear of God will allow us to see God in our trials. The proper fear of God will allow us to see God in our trials. Because if we have a reverential awe towards God, we know that God has our best interest in mind. Zachary shared with us that all things work together for the good of those that love him. There's more to that verse there, but we know that God has our best interest in mind. And so we can see that God allows these things in our lives for us. So we can see God in this. and when we can come to that place to where we can more quickly acknowledge that, we can have a peace in our hearts and lives when challenges do come. God allows us to have that peace more quickly because we, instead of wondering, why did this happen? Oh boy, and get all bent out of sorts, we have a different perspective. And we can say, Lord, what can I learn from this? You see the difference in perspective there? Why did this happen? Oh my. Or what can I learn here? And we all face these challenges in life. Mark shared he faces them. You're not alone. I do too. You know, when your schedule is tight and you're really pressed for time, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong. You don't have time for something to go wrong because the schedule's too tight, but it goes wrong. We have a choice. We really do. You say, God, what's in this for? What are you trying to show me? How can I learn from this? Or I can blow up, get frustrated and get upset and then get discouraged. Does that make sense? We can see God in this. And I'm not always successful in this. But when we have the proper fear of God and knowing that God is in control, we can really, truly see him. And I can testify that that's true, because there's times that I'm there. Does that make sense? Not every time I'm there. Sometimes I first complain, and then I come back to, I'm sorry, Lord. And then sometimes I don't, and I thank God. Not every day do you expect your wheels to fall off your trailer. You know what I'm saying? It's just not part of the plan every day. And it's also not part of the plan that you spend the entire day at a rest area fixing the wheels that wanted to come off the trailer. Just things like that, they happen. And then you got a choice to how you respond. That day there was actually an encouraging day. You know, me and my son, we got to spend a whole day together. And we usually don't often get those days to work that close together so far from home. There was many blessings in that. But let us be careful to maintain a proper reverence for God, that we can see God in our challenges. I was thinking of not adding to our faith what Mark was sharing about. How's come sometimes we get to those places where we're not growing in the Lord? I simply think it's because we lack the fear of God. We lack the proper fear of God is why we don't grow. In Proverbs 1:7 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Why sometimes we get stuck. Proverbs 2:1 tells us that if we receive His words and keep His commandments and give ear to wisdom, apply our hearts to understanding, we cry after knowledge, lift our voice up for understanding, and we seek it like we're seeking silver and hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you see how we are to pursue it? We all understand going after something for silver and hid treasures. You men understand that, right? You work for a living, and you're doing this job because why? Because you just love putting shingles on, right? That's why you do it, right, Aaron? Is that why you roof? Just because you just can't wait to put the next shingle in place. Warren, throw the thing here. I can't wait. No, that's not the purpose. It's simply because it's his responsibility to provide for the family, and he needs that the silver and the hidden treasure at the end of that job. It's a poor analogy. However, we understand that. We also understand how we can get caught up in life to where that's the pursuit of life. All of a sudden, it's all of our jobs, all of our money. That's our pursuit. We understand that too, right? That can happen to us. He says, if you receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, give ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding, and do it like you're going after that dollar bill. You know, some days when you're just driven to get stuff done, do it like that. He says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And I was thinking of adding to our faith. If we seek the kingdom of God that diligently, if we have the fear of God in that way, we're not going to be barren nor unfruitful. Having a right perspective of God. But I feel like too often we have, it's a thought for us to think about, but I feel like too often we have put more emphasis on accepting Christ instead of being accepted by God. Accepting Christ. You know, when we go witness, that's a truth to that, okay? I'm not taking that away. We need to accept the Lord. But it's also important that we walk in the fear of God. That we're accepted of Him too. Does that make sense? Mark was telling us that this morning, that he's not talking about just a newborn believer. But he's talking about those of us that have been walking with God. We need to add to our faith. Too often, there's so much emphasis on me being okay with Christ. But as you search the scriptures, the emphasis is God being okay with you? See, we don't have one up on God. Yeah, I accept the Lord. I'm okay with Him. I'll go that route. And so that puts you somewhere. We don't have one up on God. It's in humility we come before God. We accept that grace, that salvation that He's done for us. But I believe we need to have more of a consciousness of being accepted by God. Because there's a lot of emphasis on grace, and I am all for grace. That's how we're saved. I understand all that. But what about the scripture that talks about presumptuous sins? You know, so believers, you know, I think it was A.W. Tozer said, I'll leave that. As believers, we're forgiven when we come to Christ. But there's this thing of presumptuous sins. And that there is referring to sins that you think about, you plan about, and you act them out, okay? That's a presumptuous sin. What about those? Is God concerned about those? Or do we just say, oh, It's just covered by the grace of God, and that we don't have to be concerned of how we live life. Without holiness, no man shall see God. God still has, my heart here is that we have the right perspective on the fear of God, because God's judgment on sin in the days of old is the same today. Do you know what I mean? It's the same today. He didn't change his mind, and he's not okay with some sin now because Jesus came. His judgment is still the same. You sin, you die. But by the grace of God, we have Jesus Christ that intercedes for us. We can have victory over sin. We can be delivered from sin. We don't have to live in sin. But God didn't change. He didn't change in that way. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. God's still there. He still hates pride. In James, he tells us to humble ourselves, to come to him. He says, the proud I resist. That means you can't come any closer. I won't let you. I hold you out there. The proud he resists. Today, it's still the same in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. As I just ponder our lives and what causes complacency. And I've just been pondering this last while, and I've been thinking the lack of the fear of God. The lack of the fear of God. We make society around us, for sure, makes God just one of us. He's a God of mercy. He's not going to have judgment no more. But God, he didn't change. God is still the same. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. We see the lack of the fear of God in areas of, we would say no to the health and wealth gospel, right? Most of us would say that's false doctrine. Do y'all agree with that? Yeah. You can take a lot of these famous preachers. They all have their millions and millions of dollars. They're very, very wealthy. And they preach the health and wealth gospel. I listened to one of them. And he preached the gospel in a way to where God is going to bless you. God wants to bless you. Oh, by the way, keep giving your money, but God's going to bless you. You know, Kevin, you don't want to wear that same shirt in 2 weeks from now. You want a new one. God wants to give you one. And that was his message. And I'm like, whoa, this is pretty far out. But you know what, though? The lack of fear of the fear of God in our lives. We can also get caught up in chasing that dollar bill. You agree with that? We also can lose our focus to where it's not concerned about the kingdom, but rather we're concerned about how much we're going to make and what we're going after. The fear, or in Proverbs 15, it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Contentment. We have much exhortation in the scripture about the fear of God. Moses was in a place where I think his father-in-law told him, Moses, I'm thinking it was Moses. He said, this is too much for you. Pick out men to help rule the people. And the advice was given that you should provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, to place over such of them. To give Moses a relief to help him because he was going to wear out. Men that feared God. In King Uzziah, 16 years old, and it says, this is how he ruled in the days of Zechariah in 2 Chronicles. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had the understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He feared God in that way. Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And as I consider the lack of the fear of God, it causes us to be complacent, and we end up with false doctrine in our lives. And when I think of the lack of fearing God in this way, we don't fear His judgment either. We don't stand in awe of a holy God, that there's a day coming where He pronounces judgment on the human race. Revelations is full of it. He says, he tells us to be overcomers. He tells us in one place that, or he's warning the church there that he's going to remove their candlestick. He's talking to a church. He said, do this before I remove that candlestick. Judgment. There's many more thoughts on the fear of God. And I want us to have the right perspective on the fear of God. To stand in reverence, in awe of a holy God. One that doesn't have to bend your way. Because He doesn't have to. You have that little pet sin. You know, it's not too big. But God's merciful. He'll overlook that one. I mean, look what all I'm doing for Him. No, God doesn't bend your way. But I want us to have a right perspective of the fear of God and allow it to revive us. If there's areas in our lives where we know that we don't have that, let's change that. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You know, when we have that proper fear of God, it allows us to see who we are and not who we think we are. Does that make sense? When we have the proper fear of God, we can come to God with a pure heart. We can come to God with an honest heart. We can look at God's Word and ask God to show us who we are. Not who we think we are. Because sometimes we have wrong perceptions of ourselves. Isaiah, a man of God, a prophet, God spoke to him. You know what? Isaiah saw himself. And I would look at Isaiah as a man of God. And he was that. However, Isaiah saw himself. Isaiah 6:3-5, and one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that crieth, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah saw himself. God did that for him. The fear of the Lord, having a right fear of God. I believe the early church in Acts there, 9:31, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." You know, that was the transition between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant just happened there. And there was a fear. There was a reverential awe of God. And it was very real. They seen people die for lying to God. You know what I'm saying? Ananias and Sapphira came in and they died. What would that do to us? You know what I'm saying? What would that do to you and I if that happened here? Would that change anything in the way we look at God? Or is He still this God that just pours out His blessing on us, and it's all right if we've got twisted, warped doctrine? That don't matter. It's okay if we have the love of money in our hearts. It's okay if we are not forgiving everyone, having bitterness in our hearts. You know, God would have us to have a proper fear of God, a fear of Him. In Hebrews, I was inspired by this verse, and I was thinking of the fear of God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I don't look at Noah that entire time building that ark as trembling. Oh, don't want to upset God. You know what I'm saying? I don't look at Noah in fearing God that way. But I look at Noah as one that revered God. And he knew that, you know what? God said it, and he's going to do it. He knew God in that way. It says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And it says that Noah walked with God. Noah knew his God in that way. He knew that if God said it, he was going to do it. He stood in awe before a holy God. It wasn't, oh, did I get these measurements right? Ham, shem, I don't look, better double check those. No, it wasn't that fear. But it was a holy God. He said it, he's going to do it. And the people around me are going to die. Noah preached. Mark read the verse this morning that Noah was preaching. Noah is telling the people, there's a way. There's a way. Noah feared God. Noah revered God. He stood in awe. Noah knew a holy God. Noah knew God was one that would do what he said. Noah also knew that God, a holy God, cannot tolerate sin. Noah knew that. And it moved him. It moved him to build that ark. That ark saved his house. What a fool he was, right? The society around him is looking, what a fool to go build something that big. And I believe he built it on a hill. What? Rain? Coming? Noah, you're crazy. No, there's judgment coming. You need to repent. Because God said it. He's going to do it. You got to get right with him. There's room in the ark for you. The door is open. You can still come. You're crazy. I'm going to go to my party, birthday party, whatever tonight. And it's going to be good. You're going to miss out, Noah. No. No. You're not going to make it. I know this God. And he said it and he's going to do it. Reverence for God. Noah moved and built that ark. It never rained before. It's a little bit like this. It never rained before. And you go to a rainforest. You go down to the Amazon rainforest, the jungle. And you put snowplow blades on your truck because in case it would snow. Really? That's a little how absurd this looked to the society around him. It's like, it never rained before. What are you talking about? This much water. It sounds crazy. But Noah knew his God. Noah feared God. Noah didn't have something to look back to and say, yeah, remember, something like this happened 350 years ago. Or something just like it. He didn't have that. All he had was God's word. And it was enough for him. It saved him and his house. But it said he moved with fear. Because he revered God, it moved him to do that. Noah had no public support. Think about that in your life. How often do you come to a crossroad? Maybe you know what's right to do, but it's really not the popular thing to do. But Noah, he didn't bat an eye. He feared God. That's fine. I'll build this thing. And he got it done by the grace of God. I'm sure Noah had days of temptation. Like, did I really hear right? It doesn't say that he did, but Noah was human too. You know what I mean? I'm sure that he had days of struggle. I had to think of the true fear of God creates a hunger for truth. I'm thinking it was in the 1800s that this land was wild. And this land had no hunger for truth at the time. There was circuit rider preachers going out. But anyhow, this particular preacher was in Kentucky. I'm thinking it was the 1800s. I could have my dates wrong. He was in Kentucky and he was preaching. He actually went to study for something else, but he ended up preaching. And it ended up that they had a revival for a lengthy period of time. And it says that there was around 10,000 people gathered because it was giving us the picture of the lack of the Word of God being preached. And later, another preacher got wind of it and he went to another part of that state and at another time. And it said that there was 20-some thousand people gathered to hear the Word preached. That just sounds far out to me. They came from Ohio, Indiana, and they drove down to Kentucky. They traveled there for these revival meetings. May we have a true fear of God. And some probably just went just out of curiosity. Another thing, as Noah was building there, it says that Noah obeyed God. As I consider Noah living in the fear of God, Noah obeyed God. Because, see, Noah knew that God would do what he said he would do. It says in Genesis 6:22, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. In Genesis 7:5, everything, it repeats it again there. He did everything, not just a few things. Noah just didn't go out this ark thinking, all right. He says, to pitch it within and without. Well, I think if we would think about it, the water pressure was outside pushing in, right? So wouldn't pitch on the outside be enough? I know not just the inside because it would push it through the cracks, but on the outside that should be plenty. He could reason with himself, but he didn't. Noah feared God and says he obeyed God and did all that he had commanded him. And that ark withstood the test of time. Genesis 7, 9 and 16 indicate that Noah directed the animals as God had commanded him. He did that as well. Hermas in 150 AD wrote, "They only who fear the Lord and keep his commandments have life with God. But as to those who keep not his commandments, there is no life in them." They only who fear the Lord and keep his commandments have life with God. But as to those who keep not his commandments, there is no life in them. Mark said this morning, we're either going forward or backwards. We're either adding to our faith or we're losing out. When we fear the Lord and keep his commandments, when we add to our faith, we're active in that in the kingdom and walking with God in that way. We have life. Justin Martyr in 160 AD wrote, "Let those who are not found living as he taught be understood not to be Christians, even though they profess with the lip the precept of Christ. For not those who make profession, but those who do the works shall be saved." And we can look at James, and that's what James is telling us. It's not that mere profession, but it's the life that you live. It would demonstrate
if you are a believer.
made me think of Brother Solly once said how he did a job and he did a cabinet job and he sent it out to the job site, and they were almost all done with the job installing it, and there was a hinge or there was a door knob, something small was missing, and it was to a Muslim man. And I remember clearly Solly telling me that, you know, I told him, I believe this is what happened, because the owner wasn't very happy. He said, I believe this is what happened. I believe that when the guy swept up all the trash, it was probably laying on the floor, and he swept it up and threw it away. You know, they were going to get him another one, but he was upset that this one piece was not there, and he couldn't finish the job. And the guy just it spoke to me, because the guy just stopped and told him, so you're telling me that you are willing to lay down your life, you are willing to die for what you just said. And I thought, And he goes on to say, from his Muslim culture, to say that you believe something is to say that you're willing to die for it. The word believe, we use it a lot more loosely than that. But for them, it was, if you say you believe it, then you are willing to die for it. in the same concept of, in my mind here, it's the same concept of having a life that shows and expresses what we believe. Willing to die for what we believe. Jesus stressed the importance of obedience. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's in Matthew 7, 21. He also said, if any man love me and keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In John 14, 23. That's a promise. God says if we love him and we keep his words. That means that we don't go through life manipulating the scriptures. We don't go through life that way. If we get a strong warning about wealth, then we take an ear and we listen to that strong warning. If it gives us a strong warning about forgiveness, then we take a look at that. Because there's consequences for not taking a right look at these things. There won't be any eternal life with him in glory if we get these things wrong. And if we get them wrong for the lack of fear of God, there won't be any there won't be any life for us. we become like sounding brass and tingling cymbals. You know, Noah, even though it wasn't popular for him to obey, it was. Here's a quote that I come across. Like Noah, he is wise who learns to obey, although others go astray. You know, what about even us in our speech? What about even us in our lives? The way we respond to the situations in our lives. Our speech, our conduct, our attitudes. There's so much said about pride, haughtiness. There's so much said about unholy living. You know, I can't quote the, I think it's in Psalms, about the Lord setting a watch over my mouth. I can't quote that psalm. Anybody know that one? But, oh Lord, set a watch over my mouth and keep, set a watch over my tongue and keep the door of my mouth, maybe. Something like that. Our speech. God is concerned about our speech. He's concerned about holy living, walking in obedience to him. Tozer, in respect to the fear of God, to a reverence to a holy God, he said something to this effect. He says, I'm not concerned about the sins of commission. I'm not concerned about the sins of commission because those were covered by the blood of Christ. He said, but rather I'm concerned about the sins of omission, the things that I should have done and didn't. And that speaks to me of someone concerned about a God, a holy God. In Hebrews 11, it's in Peter there, it talks about Noah preaching. Noah preaching. And I can't remember how it's exactly worded there, but it gives us the picture. Noah was preaching, and he was moved with fear. He built the ark, and it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I was just thinking of our own lives, how that as Noah built, as Noah preached, as Noah walked with God, as Noah persevered in all the ridicule and all the going against the popular society, he persevered. But as Noah preached, I was thinking of walking with God and being being involved in the kingdom of God and the work there. There is a preservation there for us when we engage ourselves in that way, because we will find ourselves actively adding to our faith. Here's a quote. And Noah went through all this because he saw the judgment of God was coming. He believed God. A quote by Charles Spurgeon regarding future judgment. He who does not believe that God will punish sin will not believe that he will pardon it through the atoning blood. He who does not believe that God will cast unbelievers into hell will not be sure that he will take believers into heaven. If we doubt God's word in one thing, we shall have small confidence in it upon another thing. Sincere faith in God must treat all God's word alike. For the faith which accepts one word of God and rejects another is evidently not faith in God, but faith in our own judgment and faith in our own tastes. Rather lengthy there, but I appreciated it. May we not sort through and pick through what we want the gospel to say, but to embrace it, to walk in it with our whole hearts. Knowing that by the fear of God, the same fear of God that Noah built the ark, that same fear we can have, and we can save our house. We can live in that way. We can point them to the Lord Jesus. But walking with a reverence, walking in awe of a holy God. Noah's faith rewarded him. By obeying God, Noah, his whole household was saved. And if we are overcomers, it says that we shall inherit eternal life with God. You know, as we go through life, our faith is tested. Our faith is tested in many ways. But God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to stand in awe that when these struggles and challenges come in life, instead of murmuring and complaining and missing a blessing, He wants us just to stop, to calm our hearts before Him and ask Him for wisdom and grace to understand what He wants and how to proceed here. That's really what He wants. He wants us to fully come to that place. There's as Noah, even though it was against society, even though it was against all human reasoning to build that ark, it made me think of the missionaries, I believe it was, that were, it's a story of William Hackquist. Him and some of his friends were trying to escape danger in the days of the Boxer Rebellion in China. says they traveled 6 days and came to a place where they had to choose between land or river. The river was dry, and their carriers refused to travel other than land route. They had a prayer meeting and felt led to buy a large flat-bottom river boats. They bought food and placed it in it with their baggage on board, but no water in the river. The place was surrounded by high hills, and as they prayed and waited, in about mid-afternoon, heavy dark clouds came over the hilltops, and from them came the heaviest rains I ever saw. In a short time, there was enough water to float down the river. They felt God telling them, you can't go by land, you've got to buy these boats, and he was going to make a way to get these things to float. Do you think that there was a reverence and a fear of God? Do you think there was an awe in these men of a holy God? Do you seriously think that? Because think about it. You bought two river boats. The river's been dry. And you're trying to flee for your life. You meet with God, and he tells you to do that. Think about it. It has to be men that revered God. It has to be. And they later did find out that the land route on which they were traveling, on that land route, it says it lay several hundred bandits waiting to kill them. God sent them the safe way. Just like Noah, we can believe God today. As in the days of Noah, sin was rampant, and there was no regard for the word of God and for the judgment of God. We must believe God that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He also will reward each one for the life that we live. Those that diligently seek him and those that don't will be rewarded. And it's not going to be eternal life with him. God is just. All because Noah feared God, he walked with God. God spoke to Noah. God invited Noah to the ark. God shut him in safely. God remembered Noah after the flood was happening there. And God blessed Noah. God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful and all-present. Trusting God's plan requires that you fear him. As Christians, we serve a God who hates sin. We need to fear God to overcome sin. God is awe-inspiring. He can destroy both soul and body in hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So have fear in the Lord, knowing he only wants the best for you. May you experience victory through Jesus Christ today. I don't know where that quote came from, but I appreciate it. In 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We need the proper fear of God. We need to have this fear that says God exists and he will do what he says he will do. There's a day coming when the wrath of God is going to be poured out. It is, I believe it, because he said it. Just like in the days of Noah, he says judgment's coming. It did. And I find it interesting that some try to say, oh, it's just a book that was written. How do you know it's true? I find it interesting that most cultures that you go into, a lot of countries you go into, a lot of them, as you dig back into their history, will refer to some kind of flood of some sort. I thought that was interesting. It's written here. It was a flood, and it happened because God said, and he did it. We need to fear God in that way. A reverence for a holy God. Knowing that judgment's coming, whether
We embrace it or not.
It's coming. But we want to serve Him in such a way that we give the warning out. We're active in the kingdom, showing people the way to live. Having that proper fear of God. It'll change the way I live, and it affects the way others live. Evildoers and workers of iniquity will be cut off. The proper fear of God. I want it in my life. I don't want complacency in my life. That fear of God that Noah had, I want that. I want to maintain that. Sometimes we can lose that. We can. We get caught up in the cares of life. Sometimes it just seems like things just spiral out of control and you just get caught up right with it. I know that. I've been there. I know that. That's not okay to stay there. It's okay to acknowledge it. And then let's make changes. Let's have that reverential fear of God and let it change who we are. That we can stand before a holy God. You know, that as we speak, it says, let it be as it is the oracles of God. And 1 Peter tells us that. I was just thinking, as we speak, that we would have a consciousness of, oh, you stretch that a little bit.